Testimony Treasures, Volume 3, Chapter 6, The Church and the Ministry. It is high time that the members of our churches made decided efforts to sustain the men who are giving the last message of mercy to the world. Let church members, by a manifestation of practical religion, give weight to the message of warning which is being borne to the world by God's messengers. Intelligent people are alarmed at the outlook in the world. If those who have a knowledge of the truth will practice Bible principles, showing that they have been sanctified by the truth, that they are true followers of the meek and lowly Savior, they will exert an influence that will win souls to Christ. Anything less than active, earnest service for the Master gives the lie to our profession of faith. Only the Christianity that is revealed by earnest, practical work will make an impression upon those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Praying, humble, believing Christians, those who show by their actions that their greatest desire is to make known the saving truth, which is to test all people, will gather a rich harvest of souls for the Master. Animation in soul winning. We need to break up the monotony of our religious labor. We are doing a work in the world, but we are not showing sufficient activity and zeal. If we were more in earnest, men would be convinced of the truth of our message. The tameness and monotony of our service for God repels many souls of a higher class who need to see a deep, earnest, sanctified zeal. Legal religion will not answer for this age. We may perform all the outward acts of service and yet be as destitute of the quickening influence of the Holy Spirit as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of dew and rain. We all need spiritual moisture, and we need also the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness to soften and subdue our hearts. We are always to be as firm as a rock to principle. Bible principles are to be taught and then backed up by holy practice. Those in the service of God must show animation and determination in the work of winning souls. Remember that there are those who will perish unless we, as God's instrumentalities, work with a determination that will not fail nor become discouraged. The throne of grace is to be our continual dependence. There is no excuse for the faith of our churches to be so faint and feeble. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. There is strength for us in Christ. He is our advocate before the Father. He dispatches his messengers to every part of his dominion to communicate his will to his people. He walks in the midst of his churches. He desires to sanctify, elevate, and ennoble his followers. The influence of those who truly believe in him will be a savor of life in the world. He holds the stars in his right hand, and it is his purpose to let his light shine through these to the world. Thus, he desires to prepare his people for higher service in the church above. He has given us a great work to do. Let us do it with accuracy and determination. Let us show in our lives what the truth has done for us. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? This scripture shows Christ's relation to the churches. He walks in the midst of his churches throughout the length and breadth of the earth. He watches them with intense interest to see whether they are in such a condition spiritually that they can advance his kingdom. Christ is present in every assembly of the church. He is acquainted with everyone connected with his service. He knows those whose hearts he can fill with the holy oil, that they may impart it to others. Those who faithfully carry forward the work of Christ in our world, representing in word and works the character of God, fulfilling the Lord's purpose for them, are in his sight very precious. Christ takes pleasure in them as a man takes pleasure in a well-kept garden and the fragrance of the flowers he has planted. What might have been? It has cost self-denial, self-sacrifice, indomitable energy, and much prayer to bring up the various missionary enterprises where they now stand. There is danger that some of those now coming upon the stage of action will rest content to be inefficient, feeling that there is now no need of so great self-denial and diligence, such hard and disagreeable labor, as the leaders in this message experienced, that times have changed, and that since there is now more means in the cause of God, it is not necessary for them to place themselves in such trying circumstances as many were called to meet in the rise of the message. But were there the same diligence and self-sacrifice manifest at the present stage of the work as at its beginning, we should see 100 times more than is now accomplished. If the work is to go forward on the high plane of action upon which it started, there must be no falling off in moral resources. New accessions of moral power must continually be made. If those now entering the field as laborers feel that they may relax their efforts, that self-denial and strict economy, not only of means but of time, are not now essential, the work will retrograde. The workers at the present time should have the same degree of piety, energy, and perseverance that the leaders had. The work has been extended so that it now covers a large territory, and the number of believers has increased. Still, there is a great deficiency, for a larger work might have been accomplished had the same missionary spirit been manifested as in earlier days. Without this spirit, the laborer will only mar and deface the cause of God. The work is really retrograding instead of advancing as God designs it should. Our present numbers and the extent of our work are not to be compared with what they were in the beginning. We should consider what might have been done had every worker consecrated himself in soul, body, and spirit to God as he should have done. As never before, we should pray not only that laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of truth, so that when the messengers of truth shall come, we may accept the message and respect the messenger. Ministers and business matters. Gospel ministers are to keep their office free from all things secular or political, employing all their time and talents in lines of Christian effort. To fasten a minister to one place by giving him the oversight of business matters connected with the work of the church is not conducive to his spirituality. To do this is not in accordance with the Bible plan as outlined in the 6th chapter of Acts. Study this plan, for it is approved of God. Follow the word. He who holds forth the word of life is not to allow too many burdens to be placed upon him. He must take time to study the word and to examine self. If he closely searches his own heart and gives himself to the Lord, he will better understand how to grasp the hidden things of God. Our ministers should learn to let business and financial matters alone. Over and over again, I have been instructed that this is not the work of the ministry. They are not to be heavily burdened with the business details, even of city work, but are to be in readiness to visit places where an interest in the message has been awakened, and especially to attend our camp meetings. When these meetings are in progress, our workers are not to think that they must remain in the cities to attend to business matters connected with various lines of city work. Nor are they to hurry away from the camp meetings in order to do this kind of work. Those in charge of our conferences should find businessmen to look after the financial details of city work. If such men cannot be found, let facilities be provided for training men to bear these burdens. Instead of choosing the work most pleasing to us and refusing to do something that our brethren think we should do, we are to inquire, Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? Instead of marking out the way that natural inclination prompts us to follow, we are to pray, Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path.